Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. If you're a new listener, we welcome you. You're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at this same time. And a couple of days ago, we began a message, The True Worshippers, and we were looking at a few verses found in the Gospel of John. Jesus is speaking, and in verse 23 and 24, he says, he was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You know, that just jumped out at me. The Father is actually seeking. That shows active desire, doesn't it? And then in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the thing that's so defining about that verse is that it's an imperative. Those that worship the Father must worship in spirit and in truth. And so it's very important for us to understand, what does that mean? And as we began a study of this subject, we looked at three different levels of spirit and truth. And I can't repeat it all, but there was the level of the Godhead, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. That the Holy Spirit, of course, is spirit, and Jesus is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And then there was the level of the individual, that we must worship him with our spirit man, our inward man, the hidden man of the heart, and also in truth, with sincerity and genuineness, and in terms of not only in our utterance, but in our character, we have to be totally sincere, and that's what truth means. And then right now we're going to look at the third level, which, if you will, is the level of the church. Now, that's our corporate gatherings together, whether it's in a large facility or whether it's a home meeting, the spirit and truth should be operating. First of all, there should be truth. What is that? The of course, the Lord should be welcome. He is the Spirit of truth, but it's the preeminence of the Word of God. The unadulterated, uncompromised Word of God should be preached. Whatever the Word says, in spirit and in truth, God will open up the meaning of His Word, not just the milk, but the meat of His Word. So this is what should be happening in a church that is alive in the living God, and also the Spirit should be moving. There should be gifts and a moving of the Holy Spirit. So there must be a balance between these. All right, so I think you can understand without having me to go into greater depth. But the fact that is so significant is there is a command to worship. We must worship, Jesus said, the Father in spirit and in truth. And that's in the imperative. There's no choice or alternative. And in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 9, a familiar verse, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. That's what we are, okay? But now this is what we do, that we should shew forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. So, as we know in Scripture, creation does praise the Lord. In fact, Jesus said these rocks would cry out if the people who were worshiping him as he entered into Jerusalem. But in Psalm 89 and 5, it speaks of the praise of nature. It says, "And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord." And in Psalm 145 and 10, "All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord." That refers to the works of his hands, "and thy saints shall bless thee." I love how scripture defines, like, "the trees of the field shall clap their hands." They do wave in the wind, you know. It's like they're clapping. I had a willow tree where I lived before, and it really seemed to do that. It would just, when the wind would blow, it would just sway back and forth and clap its hands before the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing, but our God wants his people to praise him. We are created in his image and likeness, and God has given us the ability, the privilege, but also the commandment to praise him. "Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. I will exalt thee." That's Psalm 118. Psalm 139 verse 14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And then in Psalm 148, I'll read verses 1 through 5. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts." This covers everything. "Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created." And it keeps going on. And it says, let them, verse 13. Well, let's go to 11. "Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord." Hallelujah. So praise, beloved, is at the heart of our relationship with God. And when we praise him, we can't be proud. We certainly can't be arrogant when we praise God. It is by very definition a stance of humility, unlike that of Satan, who lifted himself up. So we are to praise him after the inward man. That's the hidden man of the heart. References in 1 Peter 3 and 4 and Romans 7:22. That Latin word spiritus, it literally means breath. It's the animating or vital principle held to give life to physical organisms. It's the immaterial, intelligent, or sentient part of a person. And so we are to worship God. And so let's now ask the Lord to bring us a little deeper into why God seeks true worshipers. And we're going to be looking at the human spirit in relationship to worship. Again, our foundational scripture, John 4:23, "But the hour cometh, and now is," the words of Jesus, "when the true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about the three-part unity of man. I'm sure you're probably familiar with that. Let me read that verse 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, let's make some observations now regarding the human spirit taken from the Word of God. What can we learn? Well, first of all, the human spirit is created by God. Zechariah 12:1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him." Another passage is found in Ecclesiastes 11:5. This is a Living Bible translation. "God's ways are as mysterious as the pathway of the wind, and as the manner in which the human spirit is infused into the little body of a baby while it is yet in its mother's womb." All right, so the spirit is created by God, and it's immaterial. It is not flesh and blood. Many places in Scripture, flesh is contrasted with the spirit. For example, Romans 8:12-16 says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And another very stark illustration of the fact that the Spirit is immaterial, it's not flesh and blood. Luke 24:39, Jesus, when he appears to his disciples, he said, "Behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Praise God. Well, I can see my time has flown away, and we will pick this up right tomorrow where we're at and go on further in understanding what the human spirit, how it's defined in Scripture. I thank you for joining me, and as always, if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write, share those needs, and I will personally pray for you and send back whatever God gives to be a blessing to you. The announcer will give our contact information, and I just want you to know I love you, and I pray for you every day, my radio family, my UCM partners, and I thank you for your prayers for me as well. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.